This Ridley-O sponsored by FreedomDecrypted.com.
Recording is on.
Okay, now we can speak freely. We're being recorded. So yeah. This is the New Hampshire exit meeting for November 23rd NH exit New Hampshire Independence Drive meeting. And it's Dave Ridley here from ridleyreport.com and Russell Canning from NHExit.org. We have missed Ian Freeman. He was along a few minutes ago, and he decided to exit when we didn't have any people. But I thought I'd hang on a couple more minutes in case someone talkative showed up. And you're talkative, aren't you, Russell?
Are you saying I talk more than Ian Freeman?
Well, you don't actually. That's true, but he's real, real busy, and you're pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not very busy. So between you and me, a somewhat busy person and a not very busy person, I bet we can keep the audience entertained for half an hour or so with a podcast.
And the problem is, I talk a lot, but I don't get paid to talk.
That's true. He does, and technically,
yeah, I'm doing this wrong. So, yeah, normally these meetings were for the planning and discussion of the legislation. Do you have anything along those lines? Or?
So there's no new legislative news, it looks like. We're in a lull. In a sense, that's good news because, like, I don't know if I would have expected it already, but at some point, you know, I'm expecting there's retaliation for what we're doing, right? And the retaliation would even... You know, it wouldn't just be against the legislatures. It would probably be against me and maybe you and, you know, Ian. They've already got him in their clutches. There'd be some kind of retaliation for us to report. There actually hasn't been. And that's good. Now, it may just be delayed. You know, they may be, you know, planning and scheming for years like Mr. Smithers, you know. But this is, what was that Mr. Smithers line? I'll bide my time. And when this, oh, no, I'll just crush him like a nut.
I was thinking that maybe things will be quiet during the holidays and then get revved up in January when New Hampshire politics kind of gets back in business.
Yeah, obviously we'll rev up then. What we're doing is since this, you know, we're expecting a lull for a while, I think we're just going to cut it back to just the Sunday meeting at 1 p.m. and stop trying to do two meetings a week, which is just insane. Okay. Considering how small the state is, you know, and this is just one part of the activism in New Hampshire. So I just don't see how it can continue filling two different meetings per week during Christmas time. Right. It doesn't add up. So.
Well, and at the beginning, Mike, you know, when we got Mike involved in stuff like that, then there was things to be worked out at the beginning. Maybe we can have you, me, or Ian interview him every once in a while on his schedule to ask him questions, or, you know what I mean?
We could, but that would be falling back into the trap we're already in, which is having two meetings a week.
maybe that makes sense.
So we can just have him on at the Sunday meeting whenever is convenient for him. You know, if it takes him 3 weeks to get to a Sunday meeting, then that's fine, especially at least at this level of activity, we can wait 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an urgent piece of news, you can put it on the email list, and then that will disseminate through the other, through Telegram and through our Sunday meeting and through the uploads and so forth.
Yeah, so there's no legislative news. Is there other stuff you want to go through?
Yeah, there's always New Hampshire news or New Hampshire Liberty news, and we can always fall back on that again, keep the people who are listening in the know to some extent or entertained to some extent. There's other stuff that's been going on. It's been posted over at Shire Society, and I will look.
I'm looking at my current blog post under construction.
Okay.
And I can go back through that and give people, these are mostly links to articles. So if you ran out of stuff, I have stuff.
Therese Grinnell from the NH Exit Telegram group, as you know, was arrested last month in what I consider to be exit-related activity, because she was at that, you know, that funny money meeting with the, they were trying to take the Fed money for COVID propaganda and possibly worse stuff related to COVID behavior. You know, and the she was arrested. I think she was just sitting there at the meeting, but they arrested her on maybe an outstanding warrant or maybe something she had said in the previous meeting, or maybe she said the word amen in response to something that a that a counselor, an executive counselor, had said or something like that. And maybe she wasn't supposed to say that. I don't know which of these three scenarios it was. I think she was charged with disorderly conduct, and she went to court. She was in court on that charge, I think, either last week or the week before. And I do not know what came of that. I haven't seen anything on Telegram about it.
No, I have like seven different places I scan, and I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah. People are just not good at screaming. Even women have, you know, like they've been conditioned not to scream, but we need to scream. So I wish that she was screaming more, so it was easier to figure out what was going on with her. But of course, I haven't contacted her to find out what happened, so I'm a little remiss too.
Yeah. Well, and as an inside joke, you know, because, you know, some of this NHX stuff is just for us insiders. So just so Shayna knows that this woman exists is important for me to put out there for this one.
Oh, how so?
Because you keep introducing Shayna to this woman that she already knew.
Oh, sorry, so Shayna.
We have to keep up the tradition.
Well, at least I didn't do that today.
So that's my shout out to Shayna today. Okay.
So let's see. Oh, the chair of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party has been arrested. You know, if that person is an independent supporter, which he probably is, then his arrest is sort of related news, but it was not a federal thing in this case. It was, I think he was arrested for not wearing a mask. He's the second person to be arrested at the Timberlane School Auditorium for not wearing a mask, because there were two other, you know, probably two or three other people in the auditorium. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I should look at the video. I mean, it doesn't look like a giant auditorium, but the picture I see of him being arrested, there's like, it's obviously an auditorium, because there's like, yeah, raised, like there's a, like each seat is higher than the one in front of it.
Yeah. I think he was on the floor. Okay. And then, yeah, behind him, you can see a few rows of people up in the stands. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the stands weren't full. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, yeah. When was the last time there was a full school board meeting? So, but at least I see pictures of the school board, and the school board is actually wearing masks. That's rare in a meeting to see a government actually following these mask recommendations.
Yeah,
their own mask recommendations. Like, I got video in Hampton, I guess, not Hampton. Where was it? Durham, UNH, wherever Durham is located, or wherever UNH is located. So
yeah,
I walked around the streets of the town, just taking pictures of all these expensive signs that they put up, these metal signs: "Thou shalt wear a mask. It's town ordinance." You know, outdoors, right? So, first government meeting I walk into, they all take off their masks, and as soon as they sit down at their meeting, they've all got their masks off.
How crazy!
And they're inside, and it's not an auditorium.
No,
right?
Yeah, and but outside, you're all supposed to do it.
Now, they were distanced. They weren't risking anyone's lives, right? I'm not claiming that. They were all, you know, at least 6 feet away from each other. But it's just that I thought this was a town ordinance. What is going on? This is a town government meeting. For thee, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else? Ian reported some drama, not in the NH, not in, this is not New Hampshire drama, really, but it's independence drama in California. Apparently, Marcus Ruiz Evans has seceded from the secession.
Yes. Did you watch that video?
No. So you know more about it than me. So maybe yes, you should bring us up to speed.
Yes. Yeah. I watched that video last night. So Marcus is the guy that interviewed you, right? And he's mm-hmm. the one that was at the video conference for Porkfest. And he says he's the CEO of Yes California. And he is frustrated with the president of Yes California, his friend. That's what the video is about. And they are disagreeing. Marcus does not think that the president of that organization is in charge of the Twitter account. And he was tweeting things about the Rittenhour or Rittenhouse kid. And he was disappointed that, you know, he felt like these tweets don't speak for everybody. So he said he wasn't going to quit the organization as of that video. He said he was going to step down as the CEO. And he was just disappointed with this particular thing. And so he wasn't saying he was going to quit. I, of course, said to him on Telegram or wherever, well, I guess you got to make your own organization or something, but I don't know what will happen next.
Yeah. So the naysayers will probably say, if I was a naysayer, I would say, ha, the cancer got cancer.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm not well, a naysayer. I technically would be more of a CalExit supporter, I guess.
Yeah, I think part of it is he's saying that what we have to do is stick with this one message about California leaving.
Yeah.
But of course, the coalition of people that want California to leave are not all the same politically.
Mm-hmm. And never will be, and it's okay.
So,
and that's okay.
So that is available on our Telegraph thing. I did not post. I wasn't planning on posting that, but I could probably find that link and put it in one of my piles of links that I put at nhexit.org.
Yeah.
I've been trying to just be positive with them. And what I've been doing for NH Exit's Twitter account is I have not been really interacting or retweeting anything about the Kyle Ritten. Is it Rittenhouse?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't. It's. I'm just not. I just haven't been commenting on it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I haven't even been watching it. It's all going off mission as far as I'm concerned.
So, yeah, I just haven't tried to make a big deal about that.
Yeah, I mean, if everyone in the country is already talking about it, we don't need to talk about it. unless it's obviously closely related to move to New Hampshire or, you know, New Hampshire should be independent or something like that. Something like that can be useful for calling talk radio because this is not the Rittenhouse thing is not useful for calling talk radio even. Right. So I'm like, I can't call talk radio and say, because of the Rittenhouse verdict, you should move to New Hampshire. I can't say that because the verdict was a pro liberty verdict. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just such a stretch to connect the Rittenhouse thing with what we're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas there's all those other things that we're talking about where the separation from the feds is what fixes the problem. Like right now you have all this stuff where the federal government's trying to decide how much money they should print or spend or things like that. And those are all the things that we don't want to be a part of, that we don't, yeah, we don't want to have to deal with.
So anytime that's already in the news, we can sometimes use that to tag along, ride the wave. You know, that's especially useful in talk radio, you know, because they all want to talk about the same thing every day. You just scan from channel to channel and it's like, it's all the same channel. They're all talking about the same thing, it seems like. But if that same thing is a federal overreach, then it's the chance to call up and, you know, bring this up as a solution. So one of the benefits of the New Hampshire exit thing is it makes it a lot easier to call all kinds of talk radio shows we couldn't call before because we couldn't be on topic.
Yeah.
So I have this huge expanding list now. I found a way to, it's a difficult thing to find a talk radio show you can call into by just searching on Google. There's not like a Google list of shows you can call into, right? But eventually I found, just by changing the keyword, I guess if I was looking for call in line or something like that, I can't remember what I was searching for, like the words I was searching for. I changed the words and finally I started finding all these shows and their numbers and their schedules, right? A lot easier. So now I have a much longer list and I can call probably all of these shows, maybe not repeatedly, but you know, over a long period of time, I can do it repeatedly. I can probably call them once every month or two. But you know, most of these big national shows, you've got to be on topic when you call in. It's not like local radio where you can change the subject sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but as long as they're talking about a federal overreach, which a lot of people are these days, and a lot of people always have been, right? As long as you're talking about that, you can call in and be on topic with New Hampshire independence because you can just mention that as a solution. That's it. That's all you have to do is just say what I just said. That's the solution. New Hampshire independence, then we have legislation. And if that's all you get and they hang up on you, well, that's great. That's all you need.
Yeah, giving people showing another group of people what we're talking about.
But mostly when I call shows, the response is mixed at worst. It's rare for someone to just really hate the idea. It happens, but like the local show in Keene, they're a liberal show, and you know, the guy is, he hears me out, and he hears me out better than he used to because of this bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the next time I talk to him after mentioning, he's all, I went and voted. I voted against independence. He's like, no, you didn't. You voted against a poll on whether we should be allowed to vote. You voted against our right to vote on this. but at least he's engaged, right?
Yeah.
He's
dedicated.
And so far, you know, I haven't had anyone, I don't think anyone that I've talked to on any of these shows has dismissed the idea. They've either debated it or they've agreed with it.
And nobody threatened you with the Civil War or anything?
Sort of. The one I called in Boston, although he's really nice. This is a guy with maximum social skills, right? I call this the Dan Ray Show in Boston. And I called him, you know, in I guess late September and mentioned it. And he said, what? He's like, what? He's like, what happened last time? You know, look what happened last time. That's the first person who's invoked, you know, killing 700,000 of us as a possible response. Right. But he wasn't advocating that. He was just saying that was the result last time. You know, we went and he gave me enough time to make a few points that were useful. You know, I said, you know, so, and he's like, oh, that's never going to happen. I said, well, if that's never going to happen, why did the Independence Amendment get 71% support, you know, in the unscientific union leader poll? And he said, well, because it's unscientific. And I said, well, you know, how come, no, you can't do this, and you know it doesn't work. It's not supposed to happen. And I said, well, how? Why is it that Scotland is allowed to do this and Quebec is allowed to do this, which is 2 meters away from New Hampshire, right? They're allowed to do it. Mm-hmm. We're not. Why is that, right? Well, he's like, well, because it's different countries. There are different countries. Okay.
Yeah.
I surrender.
I know if he was to hear that two Middle Eastern countries or two Eastern European countries were splitting up, would that bother him? No, he wouldn't even care. But somehow it's not okay for us to even contemplate it.
Oh, it's worse than that. He's required to care, right? He's required to liberate Krajina from, what was it? No, wait. He's required to liberate Croatia from Yugoslavia, right? Mm-hmm. And even to secure parts of their disputed territory at taxpayer expense, right? He was required to do that in 1995. By the way, they killed 100 Serb civilians that week, and then all the Serb civilians fled the scene and have still not returned. That's what, 600,000 people? No one even knows it happened, right? Mm-hmm. And he was forced to underwrite that. Now, the New Americans didn't do much of the heavy lifting. They helped the Croatian government cleanse the area of Serbs, basically. They also, you know, there was a massive intervention in the Bosnian War. There was an even more massive intervention in the Kosovo War, again, to secure partial Bosnian independence and partial Kosovo independence. So he's been forced to underwrite independence, whether he likes it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying these interventions were terrible. You know, I mean, they did end the wars, but you know, the fact that American taxpayers were forced to underwrite it, now that part's questionable. And he doesn't care about that. He's forced to underwrite. He would not be forced to underwrite New Hampshire independence, right? That would be,
yeah.
It would be, he would no longer have to send his money to anyone in New Hampshire through federal taxes.
Yeah, and right now the blue state people are convinced that us, the red state people, are living off of them, so they should rid themselves of us.
Well, I mean, a few people probably are, right? You know, maybe a lot of people are.
I do not think that I think when New Hampshire leaves, they will not be. I don't think they'll be better off. We will be.
Well, I don't know. I like the
trade.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the reason why, okay, so having just complained about Croatia, I will tell you that even a country like Croatia, as cruel as it could be in some cases, even a country like that, or a country like Kazakhstan, or Kyrgyzstan, or whichever one has the president that boiled people alive, I can't remember which one. It wasn't Croatia, but all of those countries became independent, you know, fairly recently, right? And some of them have dictators, some of them have governments that have done terrible things, but none of that's a separate issue from independence, right? All countries and all regions deserve independence if they want it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural right that falls into place just because you're there. So I can support the idea of Kyrgyzstan independence and Kazakhstan independence without even checking to see if they have a dictator or not, because they deserve it either way.
And yet somehow it's different for us.
And yet we who have done nothing to anyone, you know, and have the least bad government on the face of the green globe, we're not allowed to have it. Even though Croatia can have it at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what's happening, huh?
But even Croatia deserves it. And the Krajina area of Croatia, which seceded from Croatia to try and stay with Yugoslavia, that makes sense, too. That's not something I can be against either.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll happen to us. You know, I hope it doesn't. But, you know, maybe parts of New Hampshire will try to leave New Hampshire, and they have a right to do that.
Well, I think that will – I can picture that kind of thing happening, because once you kind of get the ball rolling, people will start thinking of, well, maybe my community needs to be semi-autonomous or that sort of thing.
So it's like we have to react the way Václav Havel did. And in, what was it, 1997, roughly, when Slovakia tried to break away from the Czech lands, the Czechs didn't threaten them. They just said, please don't do it. You know, we like you. We will do better as a united country. We really would be. All right. Okay. Well, bye. And that's the way you have to do it. And that reduces the chances that your Slovakia will leave your Czech lands, right?
Yeah, and then you're not interacting by threats.
And then if they do leave, you have great relations, because I mean Czechs and Slovaks get along great now that they're separated. They got along pretty well when they were united, but for some reason the Slovaks wanted out and they got out.
Yeah.
Well, my recorder will run out. It like says it will run out at the 33-minute mark or something like that. So it's just going to stop. Okay. And then for the audience, you'll stop hearing us without an explanation. But you can find us you can find these uploads at RidleyReport.com of these New Hampshire Exit podcasts. And of course, unlike Cal Exit, we have lots of different groups that never had to, you know, none of them ever had to declare independence from each other or resign or anything like that, because there are just so many different little organizations. Some of them just one person. So many different websites. Yeah. New Hampshire independence. It'll just continue dividing and multiplying more like a bacteria colony.
Well, that's what I was thinking during that. Watching his interview, watching his talk, I was, you know, thankful that we have it set up the way we do, where we don't, you know, we don't have to agree on everything.
Right. Yeah.
Different people are emphasizing different things, and if one group, you know, like I've been joking about, if the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence moves its headquarters to Washington, D.C., I'm cutting them loose.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have an NH Exit presence, you know, in the imperial capital?
Well, yeah, you're right.
Some guy carrying a sign marching back and forth in front of the Capitol building or something that says U.S. out of NH.
well, we're going to have an embassy there eventually, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
New Hampshire will have an embassy in the United States.
Oh, I'm not taking the job.
Yes. Oh, you know what? What am I talking about? Because you don't have to have it in the capital. The New Hampshire embassy to the United States could be in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah,
that and they'd have to come. They'd have to drive, you know, 4-5 hours north to get or they'd take a Learjet, and then we could complain about, look at that environmentally, you know, they have all those environmental rules, except they can ride a Learjet to our embassy.
So you're saying the recording is going to finish here pretty soon?
Well, I don't know exactly how soon, but at some point it'll just stop by itself. It won't cut you and me off, but it'll cut the audience off.
Okay. And then I caught up on some of you and Ian's content and put it on a podcast. So I've uploaded 5 more episodes in case people are listening by podcast and are not getting it by video. So
okay.
I was busy for a while there, so I caught up. So... This will eventually end up as an audio on, you know, NH Exit.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've just been grabbing what you guys have, so.
Yeah, like I was saying before, there are all these different places, you know, people can, there's not just one website for the New Hampshire Independence Drive. There's nhexit.com where you can go to find kind of all the different social media links. nhexit.com is sort of the two-way portal where you can rant at us instead of being ranted at. And then nhexit.org is more like a collection of podcasts, and it's more kind of everything. Or how would you describe it?
Well, I'm trying to grab a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's and then the nhexit.us is pretty looking one. And it has fairly regular uploads of content. And there's nhindependence.org, which is also pretty and more spiffy and official. And they're a 501c3, but they have lower levels of activity. So each link sort of fills a niche, and there's a Facebook group, and there's a Telegram group, and there's all kinds of groups. I don't can't even remember them all. Twitter and stuff. So it's just it's heavily dispersed.
And you're saying that this might be the last Tuesday meeting, as far as we know.
For a while, if things start getting busy again. And if we start, it would get overwhelmed with trolls on the Sunday thing. That would be great for discussion, yeah. But it wouldn't be great for having a work meeting. So we might revert to having two meetings, and the work meeting would resume if it's needed. You know, as the spit starts to fly.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what should we do on social media to get some of our detractors to join us on Sunday?
I've pulled out every stop. I've done everything I can think of. I've sent individual invites. I've posted it on Telegram. I've posted it on. I went to the Democrat groups on Twitter and posted there twice, I think. And it's just so I just run out of options for getting folks to show up at the meeting. I think they just don't want to hang out with us. that process will continue to trickle forward as I think of new people to invite or whatever. But I don't project that much will come of it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So again, it's one of those ideas that it's very difficult to debate against it. You know, I mean, it's just so easy to like, so there's so many pre-packaged things that people say against it that are easily shot down. If you can't shoot them down, you can point out that, you know, that sounds more like a threat than an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Tom Tancredo said to me. He was a congressman. You know, he's like the anti-immigration congressman, and he showed up in New Hampshire to be his parasitic self at a Ron Paul event, or it was actually our general Republican event where Ron Paul was one of the speakers. During the primary, and so I was able to catch him outside and complain to him about real ID, which is, you know. He makes it sound like stopping immigration is really easy and it won't hurt any American average people. But what was it? What did his lobbying result in? Real ID, right? I mean, whether he was in favor of that or not, that was their solution to immigration. And so I was complaining to him about that, real ID. And he did defend it to some extent. He was saying, well, it's just saying that you have to do. I said, look, if you want to push us out of the union, we'll go, right? This must have been back in 2007. And then he said he said something like, well, oh, you know, that results, you know, in killing and that, you know, civil war and everything. And I told him that. I said, that sounds like you're threatening me. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, because what you're saying is they're saying if you go down this path, that's not a way that we can do stuff. People will die if you go down that path. You have to do it my way. And we're saying your way is unacceptable.
Whose faction exactly is it that does that? The killing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're not threatening them. You know, everything that you're mentioning, was not any threat to anybody else.
Well, they perceive it as a threat to be their ability to continue receiving welfare.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know,
they don't want the pie to their pie to get smaller.
They really got to continue riding their very small gravy train. But it's interesting. I think Chaz was on point. He was the guy that was against this. He could come to one of our meetings, and he was on point when he said that his Social Security, what he gets from Social Security, is actually very small, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole point. Yeah, why is it so small exactly, considering how much you had to put into it? Considering, you know, the federal government made you work for them for the first 3 months of every year, your entire life, right?
And
would you expect a little more back for all for having given them all that?
And we don't know how long it's going to last.
Right. Weeks, maybe.
Yeah, it could be done. Yeah. Well, the other thing that could happen then is if people call on Sunday, if they have specific, you know, this would be a way for you to ask questions about the legislative process and other things. And if we don't have the answers, we can ask around or look it up.
Yeah. Or we could just make something up.
Yeah, that's true too. Because people do kind of have like specific questions, right? That keeps coming up. So that's good.
Yeah.
And if they want to do it in an audio way, they can come and abuse Ridley on Sunday. I'm thinking I might have to invite our Democrats to abuse Ridley because I can't take it. I'm very sensitive.
Yes, you are. You take yourself very seriously.
So. And then, but yeah, and then if anybody has any questions, then we can, but yeah, we'll have a lull. I guess we'll be covering New Hampshire news and we can plot and scheme what it looks like when we're independent while they're not attacking us, I guess. And wait for January.
Yeah. All right, I can think of nothing else to add, so I'm going to go ahead and eject, and I guess carve out some space on my Dropbox since I apparently have filled it up.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Russell.
All right. Bye, Dave.
Okay, bye.
This Ridley O sponsored by FreedomDecrypted.com, a New Hampshire-based liberty-slanted tech show for prickly persons. So prickly, in fact, that at least one of them has become a political prisoner. Tune in and find out why the man can't stand FreedomDecrypted.com.